You are listening to Agency Work, the podcast that provides career advice for people who want to work at a creative agency. I'm your host, Parker Playstead. Today I am talking with Jason St. Peter from Think. Think is a branding and creative agency based in Richmond, Virginia. The agency focuses on creative strategy, positioning, graphic design, and copywriting. Jason is the founder and creative director at Think. Thank you for joining us today, Jason.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I see that you have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in graphic design from Longwood University. So part of this podcast focuses on education and how your education prepared you for the work that you're doing. Was there any particular classes or projects that you had in school that kind of gave you the knowledge and skills that help you do what you're doing now?
Sure, yeah. So I've, in the Richmond community, have had ample opportunity to work with plenty of students and people from VCU, and it's quite a different experience at Longwood. Maybe a little bit less strategy than you would get at VCU, a lot more of the fundamentals, it seems like. We had a lot of different classes outside of graphic design, such as three-dimensional design and painting and charcoal drawing and sculpture and architecture and photography and all those things. But I really do think my graphic design teacher and curriculum and just the classes I had there that were focused on design were the perfect level of challenge and to weed out the people that either had it or didn't have it. And, you know, it's a lot of that is drive to learn the things you don't know and, have thick skin to get shut down when your work's not solid and when it's not thought through. And our teacher always challenged us there to, you know, try harder. And I think I may have gotten one A, maybe two, in 3 years of graphic design courses with the same professor there. And he just wasn't easy to please. And I loved it. You know, he was fair. You know, he didn't just fail you for the sake of doing it, but if you didn't work hard at it and impress him a little bit, you know, he'd let you know.
So, right.
Yeah.
So that critical feedback is helpful as you're preparing your portfolio and getting ready to go out and show this to other people. It's good to go through the process of getting that feedback in the academic environment. It's a little safer than going out with clients and getting feedback there. So it's good to get that critical feedback to guide your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Were there any particular projects that stand out that you worked on that helped you see the future of you being a graphic designer as a job? Anything that inspired you?
He would give us some interesting projects. One that I remember doing that I enjoyed was to make up our own National Geographic story and design the cover art for National Geographic and maybe a spread or two layouts of what the content might be. Do a little bit of copywriting too, and make it compelling and make it seem like it was the tone of National Geographic and something that people would pick up, you know, in a Barnes & Noble and pay for it and buy it. And I really enjoyed that one. He would have us illustrate comic books every now and then. And as difficult and stern as he was as a man and a professor, he did very much allow us to do fun and interesting project work. That, you know, while we were scared to death that we were going to fail at it, in his eyes, it was exciting at the same time to be able to take those sort of things on.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there any reference you brought up National Geographic? Were there any artists or styles that were part of the education? I mean, like an art history class or anything mm-hmm. where you're looking at whether it's would you say the cartoon?
Like comic book drawings.
Comic book, right. Yeah. Is there comic book examples, publication examples, recognized artist examples?
Unfortunately, I mean, I probably took 5 art history classes, but you didn't get to modern day. And by modern day, I mean the last 200 or 300 years of art history until the 5th class or so, which was senior level, you know, art history. You know, you're starting with cavemen and Egyptian times and all that while I was up and coming in the graphic design classes. So unfortunately not. We didn't have a whole lot of design theory, you know, in the 20th century. Although I do believe that my graphic design professor was one of the creative directors, or at least on staff with Time Magazine for quite a while. So, you know, he would hint little best practices and typesetting and formatting and margins and, you know, point size of fonts and kerning and leading and all the technical aspects of graphic design, which was helpful in, you know, taking on publication design in particular.
Okay. Were there classes that weren't necessarily considered graphic design classes that did give you a sense of graphic design or utilize your skills in graphic design? I say this, when I was in college, I ended up taking a theater class, and we would build stages for the plays. And so even though it was a theater class, we were building stages and using graphic design concepts in that.
Yeah, so one of my favorite classes in college was not a graphic design class. It was a three-dimensional class and, you know, basically go find trash and build something out of it. And I think probably my most recognized piece of work in college, what I put in the student art show, was something that was made from that three-dimensional class where I think I found a one-way sign on the side of the street and drilled a hole in it and painted it and made it very ominous looking and pointed the arrow down and put a clock in it and turned it into a sign of times and that sort of thing and entered it in the art show. And I don't remember what place it came in, but, you know, it did well. It was well received. And we were always doing things in that class where, you know, building things with your hands very much would inspire you to do things on screen or paper.
So, okay. Yeah. Good. Any other projects, classes, student organizations, student competitions? Any other examples of things that you learned from in college?
I didn't do a ton of stuff outside of what was assigned, but the things that were assigned to me, I tried to go way above and beyond and do things that wasn't really part of the assignment either. So in photography, I would go find my friends in college and force them to cancel their Saturday afternoon plans and go do a ridiculous photo shoot with me and make it way too dramatic for what the subject matter actually was. And, you know, I wanted to show my teachers I care, but I truthfully did care to do more than just what the minimum assignment was. So,
So as you came out of Longwood, one of your early jobs, well, talk about what your first job out of college was. What did you end up doing?
So I moved here to Richmond. I'm from Northern Virginia originally. And when I got here, there weren't, as far as I knew, a whole lot of graphic design jobs from what I could find online. And I didn't really know very many people in Richmond, so I wasn't aware of the networking groups and organizations and the right people to ask and all that. So, you know, I would fish around online and try to see if there was any position openings. And there wasn't much. So my very first job was at a large format print shop, and it ran the print press 24 hours a day. And it was large format. So they were printing billboards and banners for Busch Gardens and King's Dominion and, you know, everything under the sun that needs a giant sign. And because I was low on the totem pole, they had me work in the graveyard shift, and I would work, I don't know, from 10 at night till 4 in the morning and just make sure that the sheets were fed onto the printer. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wasn't able to be very creative in that job. But at the same time, you know, the knowledge and experience I got from that job plays into our work every day now, working directly with printers on projects that require that sort of thing.
Exactly. So, yeah. Right. So you're picking up the other part of once the design artwork is done, how does it get produced into something that's used?
Exactly.
So that, yeah, I can see how that was a helpful additional piece of knowledge that helped you grow. And then from there, you spent some time in the military. You worked for Circuit City. Any highlights of, you know, lessons learned or anything that you want to share from those?
I mean,
those experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it's so obviously I didn't want to work the rest of my life working the night shift at a large format print shop. I wanted to be using some of the creative things I had picked up on and learned in college and in my free time. So I landed a job as a project manager at Circuit City in their corporate office in the store environments department, which was responsible for supplying all the signage and the, you know, from the front of the store facade to every fixture that's displaying merchandise to, you know, the walkways and the fixtures and all of that. It was our department's job to not only make them look nice, but be informative and engaging and, you know, help customers find the things they need in an easy, non-confusing way. And so my job wasn't – still, I didn't have the graphic designer job I wanted quite yet, but I was part of the communications team there where I would get the designers to, you know, pretty much project manage them, let them know what the budgets are, what the scope of work was, you know, what signage was needed for the 700-plus stores that we were shipping it out to, and manage more of the logistics of how it was getting produced and when it was getting shipped out and set up. And so eventually I was making setup guides, and I worked there for 4 or 5 years, and you know, sort of took on different positions and roles there. To that, at the end, I was designing entire manuals of how the whole store should be set up in a way that a 17-year-old employee could pick it up and want to actually read. You know, I don't want to use IKEA as an example because there was a little bit more text in there than some just pictures of weird foreign artwork or whatever. But at the same time, it wasn't like an owner's manual to your car either. It was very concise, brief, short explanations of if your store looks like this, set the sign up like this. You know, if it doesn't look like this, do this. And I had the opportunity in my early 20s to travel and do audits all over the country for the stores. And I probably went to 30 of the 50 states and saw stores that I had no idea even existed, the prototypes and the formats of the stores, and realized how naive corporations are to in retail to what their stores actually look like, and also realized how rebellious the employees there are and just do go rogue and do whatever they want in their stores. And you know, it was kind of my job, still as a very young man that was often telling store managers that were 20 years senior to me that they weren't doing the right thing, to be respectful, but at the same time sort of fuse the vision of the company in a place that was effective in a format that the corporate office wasn't aware of, but also stayed on brand for a much larger ship to be sailed. So yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from that, you know, in the way that you sell ideas to people and you talk to people and you don't know what you don't know, and you shouldn't be so quick to assume what's going on in the people that are trying to support you in a company until you hear from them, and hopefully they're open-minded and will listen. And, you know, I felt like I got good responses from them when they felt like I was listening as well.
Right. Well, let me kind of articulate what I'm seeing as the path that you've been on. You studied graphic design. You had the kind of traditional education in graphic design, developed some style. From there, you went in and learned the production side of once it's designed, how does it get produced, which I find, or I think, it makes you a better graphic designer when you can anticipate the process by which this is going to be made into something physical. So whatever process it is, if you understand the limitations or how it's going to look once it comes off of that process, you've got a better sense of how to design it up front. So you got that in the production side with the sign company. Then at Circuit City, you've got the operational experience, the people skills development, seeing the bigger picture of how the operation runs, which I think comes in handy now that you run your own business, you know, those kind of people skills, operational skills. So I'm seeing all the pieces of the puzzle starting to come together here for what you're doing now at Think. And, you know, it's your own agency. You guys are focused on branding, graphic design work, design strategy. And so let's move into that a little bit. Let's talk about what you're doing now at Think and expand upon what your expertise is there, what the company does.
Okay. Yes. So so just to bridge the gap, you know, from Circuit City to where we are now. Circuit City, you know, as everybody knows, went out of business at the same time that several other companies in Richmond went out of business. And So I was scrambling and found out my wife was pregnant and, oh my God, what do I do? Like, what do I do next? And I landed a job as a designer art director at a small agency here in Scott's Addition for about a year and took, you know, a significant pay cut and was terrified that I wasn't, you know, maybe on the, not on the wrong career path, but the way the companies I was working with or for might not be a good fit for my lifestyle, you know, and not that I live some extravagant lifestyle. I just wanted to be able to raise a kid, you know, so
you want some stability.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and be able to pay a mortgage and live life, you know, not paycheck to paycheck. So, so I worked at a smaller agency here in Scott's Addition and I loved it and it was great. And, you know, I was getting more of the creative freedom that I hadn't been getting as a project manager or as a sign production associate at the print shop. And it was great. And I liked the people I was working with. But it still wasn't allowing, I guess. I was starting to realize that, you know, I wanted to take on bigger and better things and try things outside of what each of these jobs were allowing for. So after almost a year of working there, I decided to freelance and go out on my own, and had no clients like most freelancers do, you know, off the bat, except for the agency I had been working for continued to feed me work, and didn't replace my position, which, I was extremely grateful for, to at least, you know, pay some of the bills while I had the opportunity to reach out to other people and show them, you know, now a portfolio that was bigger than just college work and, you know, prove to other companies that would typically hire agencies and pay rates through the roof that they could hire a freelancer who had experience doing all these things and pay quite a bit less. So the first couple of years, you know, it was just me grinding it out day in and day out, you know, and picking up new clients every now and then here or there, you know, not growing very quickly, but enough so that was encouraging in a way that wasn't quite as scary as the first month or two that when I first started freelancing. So I did that for a few years to the point where I had a second kid and it was just – it became too much where, you know, freelancing and raising kids and working from home was not an option anymore. So I hired somebody part-time just to help out, I think 2013 or so. And she was my first employee, Christy, and she stuck with me for about 6 months and landed an awesome gig in New York City at a giant agency up there. And I don't blame her one bit for taking that. And but that what that allowed me to do was realize that I could build something that was more than just me, you know, cranking out a freelance project here or there. So when she left, I ended up hiring somebody else full time and a third person part time, you know, and from there, little by little, you know, year in and year out, we've grown. We're by no means one of the larger agencies in town, but we've got a pretty solid staff now. And one thing that I've really taken pride in is that we really try not to become this full service agency and let our heads get too big where because we have this many staff members, oh, we should take on this new thing. Right, you know, right. We should start shooting video now and, you know, we should be building these giant websites that are, you know, have inventory and warehouses and all these other things. And, you know, I think we're good at knowing, you know, not necessarily what our limitations are, but knowing when to tell clients, look, we're really good at this set of things. If you need these additional services, we've met enough people in town now where we can broker it or we can partner with it. We can sub it out. You know, we're happy to project manage it all, but we're going to be upfront and honest with you and tell you that our strength is the creative direction and the branding and positioning of it. If you need, you know, additional marketing strategy or these other elements added into your campaign, then let's talk about how we bring all that together.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've developed, as you were talking about those lean early years, sorry with my voice, you developed your portfolio as part of that. So you were building out the portfolio to demonstrate the work you were doing. And I agree that you guys have really established yourself as a graphic design branding agency with some really nice graphic design work that I've seen.
Thank you.
So give us some examples of some projects and some clients, what you've done for some mm-hmm. clients in terms of the creative work you've done.
Sure. So I always like doing side projects, like we've talked about a little bit. I don't know, when people ask me to give them the elevator speech and, you know, and I've got 30 seconds, tell me what you guys do. I mean, I can, you know, chip it down to just brand, print, web, and say three words and, you know, not explain what that actually means. But, you know, your brand is everything and anything about you, you know, the way you appear and sound and, you know, the way you interact with people and, you know, and it flows into the marketing collateral and everything that your company does, and the people within it are the brand as well too. So there's so much to that piece of the puzzle. You know, it's not just what your logo looks like and what your colors are. As far as print goes, you know, some of our biggest projects are magazines, you know, and, clients we work with, need anywhere from 80 to 150 page magazines, and they need them fast. And, you know, and I don't like doing quick, fast, shoddy graphic design. I want to spend hours on every page making sure that the layout is interesting and it's not cluttered and ugly and, you know, we're trying to fit everything into this little box. I want things to breathe and people want to read them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the print work, if anything, is probably the most demanding just and challenging because of the timelines that we have and the volume of content that needs to be designed and laid out and edited. And then the website of it, you know, we design and build websites from scratch or pre-built or, you know, whatever the budget dictates and whatever the client's needs are. You know, we can do a full-blown WordPress website that is customized to everything and anything that you want the website to do. But if you don't have a budget or time for that sort of thing, you know, we're not above making a Squarespace site for somebody if they need it.
Right.
You know, and we sort of, you know, I'm not an upseller. You know, I like to help people and give them the right solution that's a good fit for where they are and what they actually need.
Right.
So, you know, and all of those things are just things, you know, that's not really the strategy side of it. So where I think we've really grown the past, you know, 3 or 4 years or so is the strategy side of it. And I'm not talking marketing, I'm talking creative and branding strategy, where we'll get people that come to us and be like, hey, I need this website and I need this brochure and I need these flyers. And I'm like, whoa, slow down, you know. Why do you need these things? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to get in front of? And what are you trying to get them to do?
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, when our clients are willing to listen, and that's not all the time, but when they are, you know, I can talk them off the ledge a little bit from dumping a bunch of money into something that I'm pretty sure is not going to be effective. And that's where we've sort of grown in wisdom and experience as an agency, where when I was freelancing, I wouldn't tell people no. You know, if you want me to design a brochure, I'll design you a brochure. And I still will, you know, and we'll still do if it's a simple direct mail piece or something like that. Absolutely. You know, if you've got your zip code you want to get in people's mailboxes or whatever, we'll do that for you. But if you're coming to us as an agency and say, hey, we're trying to get off the ground or we're trying to reposition ourselves as a business because our volunteers, our donors, our sales just aren't where they were 5 years ago, I'm going to ask them to have a discovery phase where we're not just pulling things out of a hat and saying, let's see if this works, you know. So
right.
The creative strategy and brand strategy side of it is definitely something that we're continuing to evolve and get better at every time, you know, we face one of these challenges. And something me personally, I very much enjoy way more now than I ever have. So,
well, I appreciate your approach where you're asking questions to the client and getting them to think a little bit deeper. Sometimes people come into a marketing project and they've got some very shallow thinking about what it is they need or what is it they want to do. And I've spent some time in the consulting world where I've interacted with clients and kind of pushed them to think a little bit more about what it is they're really trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing from you is trying to get them to think a little bit deeper about what it is they're trying to solve, what are the issues, and then really how to allocate their budget in the right way to address the problem.
Right.
So I appreciate that element of your work style. Now, I want to talk about a conversation we had, which I found very interesting. You're not only a graphic designer, but you're the creative director, and you get into art direction. And art direction is kind of an interesting topic. Two things I want to talk about. One is, and I'll start with, is in the conversation we had about logo design, I gave you some ideas or some thoughts about what I was thinking, and, mm-hmm. and I come from an engineering background, and you kind of pushed back and said, well, wait a minute. Here's a different approach to how I, as a client, can communicate to you what it is I like and don't like that'll give you clearer ideas on the direction and a better path to success in terms of meeting my expectations when you deliver the results. So walk us through that kind of conversation. You were saying, what kinds of things can I give you that communicate to you what I like about logos?
Yeah, so logos to me are always like the most emotionally tied design piece that anybody could ever have to represent themselves. They're so simple in their form if they're done well, but so impactful. You put it on everything you do. It's your brand, you know, and that's why to me, anybody that rushes through a logo project, you're just stamping failure on everything after that, you know. And it's like if you do the due diligence and you really think through, you know, why it is you are what you are and how it's affecting people and what you want them to see from you, you're always going to come up with a solution that's more meaningful to you and the people that you're offering your services to than if you just pick an instrument of what you're using. So I don't know if you want me to use your specific example.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
So with a podcast, you know, the easy thing that everybody and anybody probably would do with a podcast if you were designing a logo for this is say, oh, what are the tools and the instruments we use for a podcast? There's microphones, there's headphones, there's, you know, there's audio waves and, you know, synthesizers. And I don't do audio, so I don't know the right terminology for any of this stuff. But those are just tools and visuals that go into this. That has nothing to do with how it's affecting or helping people, right. You know. And, you know, that's where to me – you know, it's not wrong in art direction. There's not really a wrong answer. There's just better answers, you know. And to me, I always feel like companies that brand themselves in a way that feel more like what it's doing for the people that are the recipients of the service or product, and you design a logo that hints at that or you know, nods at that more so than the tools they're using, is more thoughtful and meaningful. So In a podcast, I would think something that has more to do with conversation or ideas overlapping and, you know, dialogue and back and forth and people talking with each other and engagement, that a logo that comes out of that style of thinking would be more meaningful and impactful for a podcast than the arms of the microphone and the wire sticking out of them, you know, because unless you're selling microphones on your podcast, and then in that circumstance, then make it a microphone. And, you know, and that's just one example. And, you know, we go through this quite a bit where people come to us, you know, for logos. And sometimes the answer is the tool. You know, if we have a barbershop that comes to us and they're like, we've got to have scissors in our logo. And I'm like, all right, so you're going to be every other barbershop across America. That's fine. I mean, you know, I don't know what emotional tie people get out of a haircut. So maybe that one's a little bit more surface dry level, you know, than a podcast right. is. And maybe scissors is the right answer. But let's at least try to portray them in a way that is meaningful to you and hasn't been done yet, and it feels like what your brand is. So,
right. And being different is important.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I always, and clients hate to hear this, but I always say, you know, when somebody comes to me and like, hey, I'm a realtor, you know, make my logo a house because these five other realtors in the area have a house logo, I tell them that's every reason in the world not to use a house. You know, mm-hmm. like if you're going to be a fish in a school of fish, and want to stand out, then stop swimming with the same colors in the same direction as every other fish in that school. And and it makes them uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes they trust us to pull it off, and I'd like to think that we do. And sometimes they're like, no, that's too scary. There's too much compliance. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll make you a house looker then.
The other part of our conversation was you were telling me to go look and give you samples of logos that I admire and I like. And not think too hard about it, just, you know, pick whatever logos of companies or brands I admire, logos I like, designs I like, and share that with you. And that'll convey certain style elements that you can pick up off of and say, okay, this person, for example, if I gave you all and I'm being a little bit technical, but if I gave you logos that were all sans serif, you would say, okay, this person wants a sans serif font, even though I'm not articulating that.
Right.
So I thought that was helpful as well, is to encourage the client to, you know, express what they like by giving examples to you that you can pull information out of.
Yeah, I mean, we're not psychics, but I guess we're trying to pretend to be psychics. So I need you to tell me a little bit about your history for us to tell you your future, I guess, if that's the analogy there. So what we do is, anytime we're doing a new logo design, I insist on the client doing homework and sharing it with us. So by that, you know, and it's not just logos, but with those in particular, you know, go on the internet and don't limit yourself to your zip code or your city or even your industry. Go pull a page or two in a PowerPoint or a Word document of logos that you admire and you like, and just pull them in there and write a sentence about what you think you like about it. You know, I might read something different from what you're giving me, but that will show me trends and patterns of who you are as a person. You know, things down to letter spacing and kerning of, like, this person wants to be more formal and have more breathing room, and they like the sans serif fonts because they're cleaner and they're more contemporary. Or this person, like, is stuck in the 1950s and, like, they won't give me anything that doesn't look like the ad style of those, you know, condensed serif fonts, and, you know, everything's very tight, pushed together, or it's traditional, or it's, you know, Asian inspired. I don't know. This person only wants scripty fonts that look like they're hand lettered or whatever. And some of those things I think the client does pick up on with that exercise, and they already know some of those things too. But I feel like it's a good learning experience for both sides, in the fact that, you know, that person despises orange, you know, and, you know, the same way that I'll ask for them to give me a sheet or two of logos they like, I insist on giving me a sheet of logos they despise and they hate, and write a sentence or two of what they think they hate about it. That way, when we start designing things, we're not just reaching for out of the air for what we think a good solution is.
Right.
The answer might not be clear, but the right path is much more mapped out, and what the wrong path is much more mapped out. And it's the old cliche of, you know, measure twice, cut once. And, you know, that way we stay within budget, and, you know, the client gets a brand mark that fits their aesthetic and their vibe much closer than if we didn't go through that exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the second part of my question kind of ties in with this, is you've gone from being a graphic designer and doing the design work and having a vision of your own idea of what that's going to look like. And then now, as an agency and the creative director and the lead guy at the company, you've got to interact with the clients and the art direction that goes on, and the concept of the creative brief. And you've had to evolve from being a graphic designer to a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part, in my opinion, of being a good art director.
Yeah.
Is the communication skills. Can you talk about that a little bit, of that kind of going from graphic design, having that foundation, and then figuring out how to communicate with the clients?
Yeah, I mean, it's just 100% negotiation, you know, and it's finding middle ground and hoping at the very beginning that the client is not a complete lunatic, that they're going to want something that doesn't make any sense. And when they are complete lunatics and they want something that doesn't make any sense, but they've got, you know, the budget to pay for it, like, finding a way to pull it off in a way that's not – because everything we create that comes out of our shop is our brand as well. So we're not going to take on projects that we're embarrassed or, you know, hurt what other people think about us, as far as, you know, I don't take on political projects. You know, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. I won't do it, just because I'm going to be alienating somebody. You know, I obviously vote the way I vote, but I keep that's a private part of my life, and I don't. There's some agencies that do just political stuff, you know, that sort of thing. So when it gets into, you know, a lot of the times, I would say more times than not, the client does have a good vision in mind, and it's reasonable. Sometimes they have to be steered a little bit to make it more interesting, and you know, not like everybody else, but. You know, the communication part you're talking about and the art direction, a lot of times just comes down to us pitching our ideas at the beginning based off the learnings we've received from that discovery phase of like, tell us about things you like, you don't like, who's your target audience, you know, how long has your company been around, what type of company are you? You know, we pull all that information, then we give them, you know, a recommendation on what we think is the right answer to go in. And if that hits the nail on the head, then we do it. If the client's like, yeah, you know, that's good, but I kind of want to do this sort of thing, then it's really trying to explain to them, you know, compromising on the things we can compromise on still in order to pull off a successful project, but also explaining to the client that, like, you can't put gray type on a red background because the majority of people in this world don't see color the way that you see color, you know, and not saying that everybody's color blind, but people are color deficient, you know, and
it's difficult to read that way.
Exactly. So there's some objective technicalities and specifics of design that aren't arguable, you know, that this isn't Jason's preference. This is literally what's happening when you're doing this sort of thing to the public in the, you know, and how people are reading into this, or, you know, if you're trying to do something that's coming across as peaceful and, you know, organic or soothing or whatever it is, then obviously don't use the color red. You know, I don't care if your brand color is red. If you're doing a community service ad, let's minimize the red in the logo so it's not aggression and, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, and sometimes people will hear what we're telling them, you know, and other times they're like, sorry, that's our brand. You've got to have it, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to get in an argument about it. You hired us to do it, you know, but we're going to make a recommendation. And hopefully we get to a place where it's a successful project.
Well, we've got to wind this down, but I got one more topic I want to talk about, and that's organizations here in Richmond. You were once the president of the Richmond Ad Club. It's a great group here in Richmond. You found that to be a good group of people to stimulate your ideas and creativity. Other organizations in Richmond that you recommend that people in the graphic design world might find useful and helpful?
I've personally probably, you know, been a little bit partial to the Ad Club. I feel like I work really hard during the day, and what I love about the Ad Club is they have happy hours, and it's at different restaurants, and I'm boring Weston, you know, suburbia guy, and I think it's cool to come down to the city and check out these new places, and you know, and I am hugely thankful to the Ag Club. I know you're asking me about what other organizations are, but, you know, I couldn't have started to build a business without the Ag Club. You know, I've partnered with countless art directors and copywriters and photographers and people from every walks of creative life by meeting them through Ad Club. So I very much find myself comfortable there. I didn't at first because I didn't know anybody, but, you know, once I joined the board and started helping out and sort of grew with that club, you know, it meant a lot to me to be part of it. I did try a few other groups in town. I've done a lot of stuff with AMA, not as a board member or anything, but I've been a lot to their luncheons. And starting off as a freelance graphic designer, it was a little too big for me. It's more larger companies or mid-sized companies and, you know, marketing directors and, you know, not necessarily smaller businesses that, you know, were better fits when I was first starting. I think where we are now as an agency, it's probably a good fit to start doing more with the AMA. Here in Richmond, they have a great chapter here. You know, there's – every time I go to one of those events, I run into a lot of people that I've either done work for or, you know, are a new connection, that sort of thing. You know, and then it really just depends on what – part of the agency world you're trying to get into. If you're going to get into public relations, PRSA is a great one. I've been to a luncheon or two of theirs, or maybe it was a breakfast event, but a great group of people as well, very informative. I'm not I don't do a ton of public relations, so I don't spend quite as much time there, but that's a great one too. I've heard AIGA is good for students and learning,
right?
And surrounding themselves with a network of people that are also trying to learn things that maybe their classes. There's quite a few here in Richmond.
Good. All right. Well, thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
So let's wrap this thing up. Jason, I appreciate you sharing your insights with us today. You've been listening to the Agency Work Podcast. My guest today has been Jason St. Peter from Think. We have been talking about his background and work as a graphic designer and creative director. To learn more about Jason and his agency, go online to think804.com. He's got some great information there and some somewhat funny descriptions of the staff, but some great examples of his work. Thank you, Jason. And to our audience, thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a new guest, and I hope you will tune into that episode. This podcast was recorded at Red Amp Audio in Richmond, Virginia. This is Agency Work, signing off.